What's up, everybody? It's James Yon. That's right. You just tuned in to Real Labs on 104.1 Real Radio. Again, my name is James Yon. I'll be the host for this Tuesday. It is the 14th, people. Can you believe it? September 14th. We are almost to the end of the year. We are about to make it out of 2021. Hopefully, we can get this COVID out of here. I am joined in virtual studio by some very good guys. I got Mr. Ken Miller, the godfather of Orlando comedy. Ken, how you doing today?
I'm good. Still in Pittsburgh. Angry because everything closed early. Bro, you really? Can't get nothing. Bro, you can't get nothing to eat in this city after 9 o'clock.
They're like,
you can't, bro, dog, to the point where, James, I would buy, the comedy club don't have, like, you know, clubs have, like, mac and cheese and pasta. Yeah. You got to heat up. Like, they don't have, like, really good stuff to heat up. So I would get done with the show. You know, the late show, you done by 11:30, everything closed. So I say, I get a pizza. I am 2.5 miles from Domino's and Papa John's, and they don't deliver to this hotel.
Why?
So, dude, I don't know. They just don't. Everything's closed, and everybody's like, because of COVID, and people don't – everybody's so short-staffed that all the food places closed. The Pimente Brothers that's near me was 24 hours. It closed at midnight, but the kitchen stopped at 10:30.
Yeah, Bubaloo's got shut down in Winter Park because they can't find people to work.
Yeah,
they were there for 35 years.
We talked about it before. And that voice you're hearing also is one of our good sponsors, good friend, comedian, and comic book producer, Mr. Jeff Kaufman. What's up, brother?
I'm good. I'm in San Diego I'll be here for the next 3-4 days. It's a weird life, and I'm loving that you guys got me back into stand-up comedy.
Yes.
I'm back getting humbled.
Yes.
You know, whatever self-importance I had is over.
There you go.
So when you get on the stage and sometimes you suck, you go in a Waffle House every night. It's great.
think about stand-up comedy, bro. You do get to go to the Waffle House, first off. But that stage, you are all alone. There's nobody there with you. It's not like being in the band where you got a backup or somebody else can take the lead.
I mean, unless you got music cues, then you got somebody with you.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Damn. I can't believe you said that, Miguel.
What? Also joining us from the No New Friends podcast, a good friend of mine, Mr. Scott Maffei. How are you, brother?
Good. I'm still a broke, unemployed podcaster, but living the dream.
First off, you are not broke.
No, okay? I'm not broke.
Okay, no, you're not. You are very blessed because you have a very good woman who supports you and wants you to be at a job that actually appreciates you and doesn't do illegal things. So,
correct.
So there's one thing that black people and white people both hate, and it's called jail. So, yeah. She wants you not to be there, my friend.
Right.
So she supports what you do. You're very lucky to have her. Appreciate her and love her.
Oh, yeah. She's one miracle away from sainthood. I say it all the time.
Well, she's about to be there.
She's got to sleep. Okay, I'm not making that.
Easy, Jeff.
Easy. Now, Jeff, you had an interesting weekend. You were hosting. And the job of the host is to always go to the comics and say, hey, what would you like your introduction to be when I bring you on stage? Because you always want to get their name right. You always want to get their intro right because they've worked hard on it. So you had an interesting thing happen. I want you to go ahead and tell our listeners what happened.
There's this great local comedian named Eric Lutz.
Great comedian.
A great comedian. And I'd never seen him before. And somebody says, okay, we got a guest coming in. And he's blind. And they said blind. They didn't see seeing impaired. They said blind. And I said, all right, what do I got to do? They said, oh, well, somebody's going to walk him up. Just make sure he's got the good mic. I said, is there anything you want me to say? He goes, yeah, make this joke. And the joke was basically, you might not have seen him, but I guarantee he's not seen you. And I'm going, hold on a second. I'm going to be making fun of a visually impaired guy. That joke's going to go on me. Mm-hmm. And I was going, can I tell that joke? Is that the joke that keeps me out of the White House like 5 years from now? Oh yeah. We saw it. Somebody taped this joke of yours where you made fun of a visually impaired guy. No, he told me to.
Yeah.
And when you're defending yourself, you've already lost the game.
Sure. If you're explaining, you're losing.
Yeah. So, that was a fun issue. And the second one is, you ever look down at somebody in the audience? I'm getting better at doing that now. Instead of just doing my bit, I'm looking down. I'm seeing people. I'm trying to connect with people. Yeah. And I'm connecting with this girl. And I look to the left. And her boyfriend's sitting right now. It's a large black gentleman with a big Jewish star around his neck. And I was like going, wait a second. A fellow Jew.
Yes.
Except the problem was, I'm going, I've never seen a black Jew outside of Sammy Davis.
bro, I thought it was just Sammy, but you know what? Yeah. He's reached somebody.
And
but,
I'm like thinking to myself, in a black community, you're walking around with a Jewish star on. I can't even imagine how that goes down.
Yeah, because in the black community, we didn't know it was a Jewish star. We thought it was the Dallas Cowboys. We was like, he a Cowboys fan. Yeah, Jeff think this dude Jewish and he just a fan of Troy Aikman. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
And when I called him out too, he gave me the look, and I was like, he got uncomfortable. And I'm like, no, we're brothers. And then, then out of nowhere, I said, dude, you could apply and get into Harvard like now.
Yeah, dude, Jeff, I've had that happen. It used to be a comedian. I don't know. She might still do comedy. Her name is Roz McCoy, and Roz would have you bring her up, like just hey, coming to the stage, comedian. I mean, her name is Roz McCoy. Y'all give it up for the headliner, and then she'll come on stage. But oh, that's my introduction. Now I'm gonna go off stage to introduce myself. And she would do that, and then come, like, she would, make it believe like you gave her a bad intro on purpose, but she set it up that way. Yeah. It didn't bother me. And this comedian named, he don't do comedy no more because he's Adam Avitable.
Damn,
had
Miguel, host. You need to relax.
Miguel wilding today. He had to host for her, and he refused to do it. He was like, no, my job isn't I'm not going to get up there and not do my job. Like, I said, dude, just do it. It's not that he would not do it because he didn't want the audience to think he was a bad host because he got up there and messed the intro up. But that's probably the only time I've had an issue where – it wasn't an issue to me, like, where the headliner wanted me to say something that I was like, you sure you want me to do that? And they was like, yeah. It's like, cool. Joe Neal does that. Joe Neal does that, too.
Yeah, I screwed up. I've only hosted 3 shows. So, I'm still trying to figure this stuff out. And when you do a bonkers show, they want you to do like 50 things. You're texting, you're calling, you're doing a bunch of things. Yeah,
because for them, it ain't about the funny. It's about we need comment cards so we business. Can get people to come back. Yeah, it's the keep business part of it,
I get that.
The Improv don't even do comment cards anymore. We used to do comment cards at the Improv. I can't tell you the last time I've hosted at the Improv and told somebody to fill out a comment card.
I will say this. It's the business model that's the difference. Like, Bonkers is working on a system where they can get information so they can reach out to these people to sell tickets. The Improv, if I'm not mistaken, Ken, they're not papering the rooms at all anymore, right?
Not
they're
anymore. No, we don't. Yet. No, we're trying to
every put, ticket costs something now.
Yeah, every ticket. And I even went back to the GM. I was like, hey, because the last few nights we've had, they haven't been good. And I was like, do you want to go back to the free model? And she said no.
No. Because she says you have to teach people that comedy costs them.
Yeah, I agree. But why pull the comment cards? What's the benefit of pulling those cards? I mean, not using them.
I mean, with the improv honestly doesn't have to do it. They're world known. The reason why Bonkers has to do it because Bonkers closes and moves 4,000 times. You know what I'm saying? Like the hamburger place gonna be closed at the end of the year, and then it'll be another. So Bonkers does comment cards because they don't have a brick and mortar for themselves. Everybody knows the Improv. Improv gets, and not saying that me and James aren't A comics, because we'll body a lot of the comics that come through there, but we're not household name comics. The Improv gets household name comics. They don't need comment cards. Bonkers getting local people who come to show, like, yo, you are so funny, Ken, why we never heard of you? But I bet you if Bonkers had Michael Blackson, they wouldn't need comment cards.
Nope, right. Not at all.
Now, I can tell you, like, last night I was, it's weird I'm in San Diego right now, but last night I got 3 straight nights of comedy. I'm a little tired. And every one of those comedians had me do something weird for them. Oh, bring up a stool, bring up this. And A-Train, he said, listen, could you bring this stool from the other side of the room all the way up onto the stage? And I go, oh, let me try to get that done before my set. And I'm too busy thinking about putting that stuff on, taking visually impaired people off the stage, getting comment cards, that I didn't give him his full intro. And but I made it very clear. I'm going, you're going to love this guy, blah, blah, blah. He's fantastic. But I didn't mention, Braxton Family Values or D.H. Hughley. Yeah. And I get off the – and I come off, And he says that he looks at me, gives me the look, and he goes, dude, you introduced. I said, he goes, you didn't mention my credits. Go back and do it. And I went back on that stage and I gave his credits. I went back up there. I said, hey, we've got about a minute, but I want you to know he's coming out. He's doing this thing. And I thought about that. I said, I realize what part of the food chain you're on when you're hosting.
You are
the low man, and you do it, and you do your job. And if you don't do your job, you got to eat crow.
Let me say this. And as a guy that's been doing this for a while and your friend who wants to help you do better, Jeff.
Yeah.
That intro, because they've worked for those credits, because they put in their dues, they put in their time. That intro needs to be one of the most important parts of what we do as MC.
No, I get it.
I'm still an MC because he had to do a lot to get to be able to be an opener for DL Hughley. He had to do a lot to get on Braxton Family Values. So that intro for us right now is we're trying to build our name, build our fan base, and try to get looked at by comedy clubs to get better shows. It's important. So as a guy that used to be a host for a job, and still am a host, you know, as my main job, it's important. You just got to take that extra time to make sure you get that right.
I mean,
devil's advocate real quick in Jeff's defense. If you're coming to see that person, don't you already know their credits?
No.
Isn't it there?
Not if you're not a household name.
Yeah. Not your household name. Nah. Cause a lot of them people are just getting free tickets for that show. Now, once again, it's the club. If you're coming to the improv, more than likely, yes, you know that person. But if you're coming to a Bonkers show, and I'm not you know, pooping on Bonkers.
Knocking them, yeah.
No, I'm not knocking them at all. But if you come into Bonkers, a lot of times you just got 20 free tickets to come to a comedy show. A lot of people don't even look at who they got the tickets for. They just know they got 20 free tickets and they come to the show.
I'm bringing this up because we normally talk about this stuff a lot, and a lot of people don't know the inner workings.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I felt, I absolutely had to go back up there and do my job the first time.
I don't know.
That was something that reminded me.
And I'm just speaking for me. I don't know if I'd make you get back up and do it.
It don't bother everybody.
And could you just make sure you say that, because I just want to make sure people know that my credits are blah 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 blah. I would have made you get back up there.
I'm horrible at my wife talking to me about this.
When an MC comes up to me and says, James, what would you like me to say? I will just want to tell them Native Floridian James John. I've done that for years. But my wife's the one who's like, no. You've got to tell people where you've been, what you're doing, so you can build your fan base. So I hate talking about myself in that way. I'm my worst cheerleader. I'm even bad at it, Jeff. If you ask me, James, what do you want me to say? I don't know, just James. Likeable.
I'm still watching that video of you when you were like 12 teaching people how to host.
Yes.
Hey, the only thing that made me mad, the credits part never bothered me, but when somebody say Greensboro, South Carolina, that's what I'm mad. I'm like, bro, I'm from North Carolina.
Them's be fighting words.
Them fighting words. Tell them, Scotty. Somebody got to get shot, son. Somebody got to get shot, son.
Scott just shooting the club.
I got to shoot. I'll be like, hey, man, Margaret, we need another host. Can you not kill? You done killed another host. Hey, bro, they know the state, yo.
He had to get it, bro. I left his shoes smoking.
And then after you shoot, call Kaufman and Lynn. They'll
hire
you. You signed that waiver when you came in, though.
You know how I go, bro. Clack. Hey, guys, don't go anywhere. We get back. We're going to have some more hilarity between me, myself, Ken Miller, Jeff, and Scott Maffei. We'll be right back, guys. Don't wait. What's up, everybody? It is James Yon from Real Laughs Radio. Now, the new home for comedy is at Amstar Cinemas, located in Lake Mary each and every Wednesday, hosted by comedian Joe Neal, as seen on BET's Comic View. He is bringing all his funny friends with him. It's the Comedy Takeover live stand-up comedy show at the movies. He is featuring some of today's funniest comedians from around the country. You guys won't want to miss this. Now, Florida is in dire need of the medicine of laughter, so come on out and get you some.
Showtimes are at 6:45 and 8:45. Don't miss the before and after event at Dexter's Lake Mary. If you mention the Comedy Show, you'll get 10% off your bill. Log on to thecomedytakeover.com for all the details. People, it's the Comedy Takeover Live stand-up comedy show at the movies. Remember to log on to thecomedytakeover.com. I'll see you guys there.
Welcome back, everybody. You are still listening to Real Laughs on 104.1 Real Radio. I'm your host, Mr. James Yon. Want to remind everybody shamelessly to please follow us on Facebook, Instagram. That's right, Real Laughs. And please follow my show, The Lowdown, on Afro TV's channel 1623 if you have the Xfinity Comcast. We're looking forward to doing another season of Funny Not Famous, where we give four stand-up comedians a chance and an opportunity to be on that big stage. We're talking about TV. COVID has shut us down, but we hope to get started at the end of the year, so please keep sending in those submissions at imfunnynotfamous@gmail.com. I am joined in virtual studio with the godfather of comedy himself, Mr. Ken Miller. We got Jeff Kaufman, a comedian, lawyer, producer of comics, an amazing creator, if you will. And I got my good friend from the No New Friends podcast, Mr. Scott Maffei. Scott, how's the podcast going, by the way, brother?
Man, it's going really, really good. You know,
you guys have found a rhythm. You guys have really found a rhythm on that.
We have found a rhythm, and, you know, we're constantly tweaking things, constantly trying to make things a little bit better. But, you know, the last couple episodes have been some of our best. We really kind of settled in real nicely. And thank you for coming on for our 50th. That was super exciting.
You bring out the best in me. I will say that every time I'm with you and Mary, we always laugh. We have a good time. And I want to make sure everybody knows to go out and support you guys. You're on every streaming platform and you have merch. I want to make sure.
Oh, yeah. We have really cool merch. My daughters are so funny. They wear that merch everywhere. And they're so excited to support that stuff. But James, I just want to make sure when you were on, I didn't forget any of your credits, right? Because I don't want to have to reintroduce you.
You gotta do the podcast all over.
Half the show, bro. You tell them right now where I'm from.
Listen, I ate it because that was my mistake, and I'm from a school that says, listen, if you don't do something right, you got to fix it. You got to go back. You got to do that. And right. I didn't feel bad, but it does make you feel less. You you wonder about that, and you're going to go, would I have done that? And no. I probably wouldn't have. But I understand how some people feel, and I was just thinking to myself, you know, I screwed that up. That was on me.
But I wouldn't have made you go back like that. But you did learn another lesson. We don't have to say the comic's name. But I think you learned in comedy, we talk about, you know, peeking behind the actual curtain. People don't know the inner workings. There is something that's called the light, people. And when you get that light, it means to wrap it up because you're about to be 5 minutes from completing your time.
It's funny that James is explaining the light, because from what I hear, James is the worst at listening to the light.
I was the worst. I pulled the worst one because I had five guys lighting up a room. Man, I didn't see it.
Hey, now with Jeff, I lit a comedian on fire to get Jeff up here. That comedian sacrificed his life, B. You know, in the Old Testament with the burning bush, I had to burn the bush this dude, James.
That was my first night at the improv. I'm sorry. That was my first night at the improv.
Biggest pet peeve.
Yeah.
This is the thing. A headliner, I don't care. Because you the headliner. They came to see you. But if you're doing a guest spot, you feature, you MCing, bro. Like, when we did the Will Mill show, it was one comic on stage. He was supposed to do seven to ten minutes. He was up to 15 minutes.
We lighting him.
He got off stage.
Was that a new guy?
Yeah, he's a newer guy. And he got off stage. He says, I didn't see the light. I said, it's not the Comedy Club job to light you all the time. As a comic, you should know. I said, when you start doing these TV shows and late night, you have to have your 7-minute set. And exactly. That's just it. There's nobody in the back with a flashlight when you doing. When I did Last Comic Standing, you had 3 minutes. That was it. And at 3 minutes, they cut the music on. It wasn't nobody like you at 2 minutes or none. So I told the kid, I said, take a stopwatch on stage. Download the stopwatch app. Put it on the thing like I do. I have the stopwatch app. I got the stopwatch going. I said, but now you've extended the show for 5 minutes because the next comedian, like, oh, he went long with shoe. I can go long. And you know what I'm saying? Yep. Then you got a trickle effect. And then by the time the headliner get on stage, they done drop checks. the kitchen closed. Ain't nobody pay attention. Everybody drunk. So, one thing I tell y'all comics, just bring a Stopwatch on stage. It really is not the club. And even you, Jeff, when you're hosting, it's really not your job to light anybody. It really isn't. Now, you want to do it, that's extra. That's extra if you want
to
do it.
That's my job, though. That's what they tell me I have to do.
It's not. It is not the host's job to tell everybody what their time is.
You're right. Ken, you're absolutely right. Ken's saying, as people who step on that stage, you're supposed to be professional.
You're a professional.
You're a professional. At that show. You're supposed to know your time. But if you do see a light, as a guy that's not the headliner, you really have to. It's a hard line.
Wrap it up. Because Jeff, if it's in the bonkers things or that you're supposed to get people to light, that's new. Because I hosted for bonkers for years, and I was never the one that had to give a comedian the light. They knew.
And let's make sure everybody understands why we're having this talk. Because here's what can happen to you: if you are a host, guest set, feature act, and you don't respect your time, it's well within that headliner's rights to have you get fired that weekend. And it's well within the manager or owner's rights to never have you back.
Yeah. But Jeff,
we talked about Ryan Holmes. When Ryan Holmes did the improv, that was his first headlining gig, because all the people were new. They were supposed to do 5 minutes. They did some of them did 15. Ryan had to cut his set early.
And he did that.
He was supposed to do 45 to 50, and he only got to do 30. And I mean, they were great 30, but I mean, I know he had at least 10 more minutes he could have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's when you're dealing, especially, I do a lot of those showcases, and I tell the comics, hey, you got 4 to 5 minutes. I even bring them out and I point, but hey, see that little square? That's where the light is. At 4 minutes, you get the light. Do a heads up, a thumbs up. Hey, I do the robot. Do something to let me know that you saw the light. But when a lot of new comics, you know what I'm saying? So, Jeff, that's why when you went over your time, we weren't tripping. It was your first time at the improv.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? You were starstruck. So nobody was tripping. But comedians who've been there a couple of times that know better, those are the ones I'm like, look, dog, you know better.
And we talked on the break a little, and I told you how, after some of the shows, I'm wondering, was it good? Was it bad? Everything else like that. Because I'm pretty hard on myself about things. Mm-hmm. And,
we all are our worst critics as comics. Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess the point is, there's a lot of, every time I get burned, because we talked last show about, different stuff happened. Tim Tebow getting injured and the MC announcing it during your set. And for me, the TVs went on and LeBron's playing in the playoffs. I mean, it seems like I'm getting a crash course in bad stuff that can happen to you, like probably every other show. And I think it's good because it prepares you.
It definitely does.
Somebody played pool at one of my shows. What's the place, James? Crystal River. Homosassa, dude. Jeff, they didn't have any speakers in the back, so they couldn't hear the comedy show. So they just started playing pool and drinking and just having conversation. People were getting on their motorcycle and driving off during the show. You be about to hit your punchline. Woo!
Guys, I was hosting trivia when the San Antonio Spurs Miami Heat were in game 6, and San Antonio had that game 1, and then Ray Allen buried the 3. I'm trying to host trivia while that's happening. There was no trivia questions being asked during that last 5 minutes.
Yo, my favorite thing about that game, Miami fans thought it was over and they started leaving. And Miami came back, but they wouldn't let the fans back in the arena.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's right.
They had the rope set up. They had everything ready to go for the trophy presentation.
The trophy presentation in Miami won. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that game.
That was awful. I posted on Facebook. I'm like, LeBron who, one championship, two championships, whatever. And then Ray Allen hit that 3. And I'm like, ooh.
That was Tracy McGrady's chance to get a ring.
I'm so happy to be in the second round and didn't make it.
Wow. He was gonna. He had it. He had that ring.
Yep.
And I love McGrady. Oh. I loved him when he played for the Magic. He was great.
Now, Ken, I want to talk something real quick. You had mentioned it last show, but I want you to go in a little depth because I want people to come out and actually support this because this is a great thing that you do. A lot of people are returning to comedy like Jeff. A lot of new faces are doing comedy. And Ken, you give them a chance to actually perform in front of a crowd at a new face competition. Now, the first leg of the show, you're going to be doing at the Harry Buffalo on Monday nights. Then the actual finals will be at the Orlando Improv. So it gives these young guys an opportunity to work hard and get on that improv stage, which is a big deal because it's a world-renowned stage and everybody wants to play it. So tell me a little bit about the competition and how it works.
Yeah, man, you know me, man. As much junk as I talk, you know I love young comedians. I love mentoring. I love talking to them. I love making them feel bad. You know, I love all of that about, you know, being godfather to these youngins, man. Well, we used to do it at the other bar, and it was when I first started it. It wasn't even a way for me to get people to improv. It was a way for me to get people to know that we had open mic. So I would do these showcases. So I said, Kermit, let's do it at Harry Buffalo, which is formerly known as the other bar. So on Monday the 13th, Monday the 20th, and Monday the 27th, we will be doing a New Faces competition. Each show has, I think, 10 comics. And the audience will, each comic will be doing 5 minutes. The audience gets to pick the two comics that they like. And then me and Kermit will pick the third comic. And the top three comics from each show go on to perform at the Improv at the New Faces final showcase. The winner gets $100. And then if they're really good, I will let them host an off night at the Improv. If they are right, they can get a guest spot.
Wow.
Then get a guest spot. But you know, it's a chance for them to get in front, like you said, on that stage at the Improv. Get a good video that you can put up on you. I mean, I remember my first time at the Improv, man. That video is still my most viewed comedy video I've ever put up. You know what I'm saying? My first time ever performing at the Improv when it was downtown, which is where Harry Buffalo is right now.
Which,
by
is,
the way,
Harry Buffalo, it used to be the Improv. And Ken, that's a great show. My wife and I came last year to the finals. You guys put on a great show for that New Faces, and it's such a great opportunity for young comics to really get their name out there.
And I try to do it. I love to do it once a year, man. And but it's still funny because talking to young comics, you know what I mean? Like, hey, well, like one of the comics, his Facebook name, I'm just going to make it so his Facebook name is like, you know, Michael Jefferson. And he was like, hey, don't be using my government. I go by Mikey J. And I'm like, hey, when you get there, you can go by Doodoo Head if you want to. You can be who pooted. I don't care. Your Facebook say Michael Jefferson. I just put what was on the Facebook. I just want you to know y'all using my government. You know what I mean? I'm Hoopooted Junior.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh my.
I'm excited about it, man. And I'm really doing this too to help Kermit build Harry Buffalo because it's a really good spot. It can be a really good room. It's got potential to be a great room. So I'm really doing this so Kermit can get people. Because you know, with other bar, we would do these showcases and people be like, we didn't even know y'all had an open mic on Monday. And then next thing you know, dude, we just had people regularly coming because they came to showcases.
And I wanted you to talk about this. I want people to actually come out as audience members and support these young comics. Because you're going to probably see some people that are going to go on to be somebody. That's how it works. That's how it works, man. All these guys that we know that's kind of made it. Chris Cope, J.C. Carias, Preacher Lawson.
Preacher Lawson, J.B. Ball, Akeem Woods. Cam Bertrand, who was just on AGT. You know what I mean?
He did a show at Harry Buffalo's, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. It's so many cats, man, that like right now you see, 5 years from now, you never know, bro.
So, guys, Ken, tell us one more time the Mondays is going to be happening so people can come out and support it.
Yes, sir. The 13th, the 20th, and the 27th at 9 o'clock, Harry Buffalo, downtown Orlando. It is totally free to get in, and parking is only $2, and you park right behind Harry Buffalo.
And it's a great venue, guys. Go check them out on behalf
good
of
food. Real Labs. Good food,
good
too.
Good food, too. Tell them that we sent you. Guys, don't go anywhere when we get back on Real Labs. We're going to go over a couple of celebrity birthdays. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. Hey, if you're looking for adult entertainment, then why would you go anywhere else but Grandview Live? Grandview Live Gentlemen's Club is the elite adult club of Daytona Beach and Volusia County. They're located in the heart of Daytona in the Seabreeze Entertainment District. Now, they provide you guys with sexy live entertainment, not just for the gentlemen, but ladies love them too, because they have everything the entire group would want for a great night on the town. They have four bars, two stages, VIP seating, full bottle service, and a nightly DJ who will keep the party going all night. So if you're looking for adult entertainment, Grandview Live is the place you want to be. And remember when you get there to let them know that Real Live sent you.
Welcome back, everybody. You are still listening to Real Laughs on 104.1. It is the 14th Tuesday, guys. It's September. My name is Mr. James John. I just can't get over how far we already are in 2021. Can you believe it? I'm joined in virtual studio with Mr. Ken Miller, Jeff Kaufman, and Scott Maffei from the No New Friends podcast, guys. Now, we're almost to the end of the year. I don't know about you guys, but I did not expect it to go by
yeah,
as quick.
Slow as last year. As slow as last year was, this year is flying.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it flew by. No, I know my people in prison right now. Like, yo, this is a good year. I got through this year quick. I can put my little white check down, man. I'm almost there.
I didn't have to snitch on anybody. I'm almost out.
That's funny. I didn't have to snitch on nobody.
Oh man, for real. Day. Yo, hey, man, I ain't had to get no free onion rings or nothing, bro. I'm good.
Now, I just want to do a temperature check, make sure that we're all doing well, because I know we're a funny show, but COVID-19, the Delta variant, is really not playing around, man. I've known a couple people who've gotten it, who have completely changed their tune about getting vaccinated. So I just want to make sure everybody's peoples that are here, all your friends and family's okay. Everybody's good?
Here's the thing, you know, because I'm pretty knowledgeable on this because I know the laws and deal with this and everything else. And I've been studying everything, and I know people in the know. And I'm not talking Republicans, Democrats. I'm talking people in the know.
And in the medical group,
Yeah, and the truth is you got less of a chance to die if you get it.
Yes!
And that's what you're dealing with. Yes. And a friend of mine who takes care of my son, you know, his name was Mr. Tony, and he took care of autistic kids, and he was out there helping them and everything else. And he went into the hospital and he passed away like 2 days ago. Yes. And, you know, I don't remember something taking people out like this. Mm-hmm. I just don't remember it. Maybe I'm wrong. Cancer, yeah. But I've never seen like the flu. Oh, he got the flu and died. Like you're hearing stories all over like this.
And my wife works in, like I told you guys before, my wife works in a doctor's office. And all these people are coming up with really bad cases of it. And in all of them, not some of them, they're all unvaccinated. So people, I'm not a political guy. I never preach my politics to anybody, but I care about you living and breathing. So please get vaccinated. Please get your family members vaccinated, man, especially if they're older. You just want them to be around. Why take the chance?
Here's the truth. It's not a guarantee. You can get it again if you've been vaccinated.
But, correct. But if you get vaccinated, you might get it, but chances are you're going to live. Yep. You're not,
and you know what? If you're not ready to get vaccinated yet, just wear the mask. Just wear the mask and be safe. Bro. That's it.
We just lost a comedian last week.
Yes, three of them.
Yeah, three of them, right? I know Wayne passed. Who else? Wayne Philbin passed for COVID. Who else?
Fuquan, the gentleman. It was a big news story. They were in LA.
Yeah. No, they didn't die from COVID. I'm talking about from COVID.
Okay, you're right.
I'm talking about COVID. No, they died from something
else.
Domestic violence don't count.
No, it's not domestic violence. No, it's all with a C, but it ain't COVID.
A frying pan don't count.
No, not that either. No.
I was at Dragon Con
this weekend selling comic books last weekend in Georgia, and this guy walks in, and he was one of these good old boys. And listen, I spent enough time in Georgia. But I'm not wearing the mask. My constitutional right. They picked him up like he was a sack of flour.
and carried him out. The people who scream constitutional right don't know the Constitution.
I can promise you that.
Every time somebody say my constitutional right, I can guarantee you they don't know the Constitution.
Can't even spell constitutional right. Not the patient, right?
Do you know how tough it is for me not to call somebody just an absolute moron when they say this stuff? I mean, I'm licensed in 18 states. I've taken constitutional law for something like 4,000 hours. Yeah. You read it in a Facebook post.
Yeah, you don't know, Jeff. Do your own research, Jeff. You don't know.
You don't know. Constitutional right, damn it.
Oh, on the back of the tickets? I paid for this event. Did you read the back of the ticket? They can make you wear a bra if they want to. You're a dude, you're wearing a bra over a shirt.
Yeah. Hey, but Jage, yeah, man, but not, you know, the rank of the comics, the ones in LA, man, you know, God rest their soul too. You know, for all you comics out there, man, you know, I know life hard, you're going through some stuff, but man, them drugs is a mother. Yeah. And my comedy family, y'all just be crazy right now, because we've had like three comedians die from fentanyl overdose. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Y'all just be careful out there, man. You know, we losing some talented brothers and sisters, man. The cat from The Wire, they found, you know, he passed. I don't know what it was yet.
Depression.
Yeah, I think, man. And if after you're depressed, man, you know, go see your therapist. I'm in therapy every Saturday. Every Saturday, man. I'm sitting on somebody's couch, bro.
No, seriously.
And he's sitting on the couch right now. Look at him. He's on the couch now.
There is something, and I'm just going to say this. Okay, I'm going to speak for James. But I think most comics out there can relate to this statement. There is something inside us that's not okay. As comedians, there's a reason we stand on stage looking for that validation and approval, that instant gratification from telling jokes and trying to make people happy.
What do they call it? Tears of a clown.
Tears of a clown. Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, and as a guy that has a close family member dealing with depression, it's real. And it's not one of those things where people think like you can just cheer them up. That's not how depression works. It's not that. It's something different. It can be chemical. It's not just something you can just be like, well, maybe if I spend time with them more, maybe if I take them out, it'll just get better. Nah, it takes a lot of counseling, like Ken's saying. It takes them talking it out. It takes you constantly working at it for them to even start getting better. But there's still no guarantee.
And worse than this, like you said, no matter what you get, no matter who you talk to, sometimes it's inevitable.
Yes.
I mean, I had a young lady, I kept her alive for 3 months, and it was the one time, you know, that I wasn't around, and I got told the next day, hey, guess what? This person took their life. And I mean, you're like, you know, and comedy is tough because I originally got into it because I liked the feeling I was on stage and everything else.
Absolutely.
This time I've gotten into it because I feel, you know, I missed it, but you're fully aware of, you know, if you don't do well or you're not doing it, and it sometimes gets you a little bit. And I could see how when people aren't getting that validation, that it could go bad.
Because you get used to that type of, let's say, quote unquote, love. You get used to the admiration you get when you're on stage and people tell you how well you did. It takes one set to go bad, and you're like, damn, maybe I'm not funny anymore. Like, and that's crazy to say because you've been doing it for more than 20 years, but we are so in our heads as comics. We can be making the entire room laugh, but the one guy in the front row with his arms crossed,
bro,
not laughing at anything,
yo,
completely getting our head, and we'll be like, why ain't he laughing?
Yo, I'm telling you, it killed, dude. That happened to me this weekend. I got a dang near standing ovation, but the only satisfaction I got was it was one black dude this whole show just looking at me like. And then I did one joke and he laughed and I said, I got you. I've been trying to make this dude laugh all night. And then now, bro, I feel good, but I'm sitting there like, why do I care that he's not having a good time and 379 people are having a great time?
Yes.
Absolutely. Bro, I don't know what that is about us.
You feel the negativity.
You feel it. You're like, why is he not having a good time? His wife, bro, was dying. And he just sitting there like, this ain't Dave Chappelle.
Wow.
I thought we was coming to see Kevin Hart. Who is this Schwarzenegger on stage right now, yo?
That's fun. Well, Pittsburgh's different. Okay.
but they've been dope. Speaking of that, James, man, I meant to tell you, I found a message, I sent it to you. You know how we always joke about, don't nobody listen to this show. Well, yeah. There's people that do listen, because this kid, I'm hoping he's listening right now. I can't remember his name. I had a chance to look up. He sent me a picture of a pair of British Knights. Remember we were talking about school shoes?
Yeah, yeah.
And he sent me a picture. He said, look, dog, I found some BKs, and I can't remember where he said he was at. So, buddy, if you're listening tonight, I should have looked him up.
Shut up, dude, man.
No. Yeah, he actually listens, and he sent me a picture of the British Knights and everything. And he was like, yeah, man, son, for real, bro. They really making BKs still. And I was like, yeah, so one person listening.
I'll take it. Bro, you talk about a dude at home when nobody listens. I'll take that one dude. Nobody listens to you here, man. Being a father nowadays is like being president. It's just a title. Yeah. Nobody really cares, man.
Bro, yeah.
My daughter's like that. I walk in the house. My daughter looks at me like I'm the guy who takes out the garbage.
Yeah.
There's nothing. I go, how about a hug? And she looks at me like I asked her for money.
Oh, my God. A hug?
I look at her. She like rolls up and like she is inconvenienced, or like her bursitis is picking up or something. You know,
yeah. Your birthday.
Groaning like she's 90. I'm like, get your ass up. Give me a hug.
My favorite is this. My kids would never ask me for stuff. Like they would not. They would to ask their mom, and then their mom would ask me.
Yeah, that's how it works.
I was like, hey, because you know I grew up with my father. I would ask my father for stuff, and then he would go to the if it was basketball, he would go to my coach and be like, hey, they call me Kente. He's like, do Kente really need $100 for shoes? Because he thought I was lying. So then I just stopped asking my father for money because I'm like, I don't want to be questioned. So my kids would never ask me for stuff. So I'm like, why don't y'all ask me for stuff? Well, Dad, y'all be talking about how you broke and stuff. I said, I'm joking. I said, I'm just kidding. Since I told them that, bro, let me tell you something. They ask
every day,
all the time now. All the time.
You screwed up the system.
Bro.
You did.
Hey, Jeff.
You did.
Jeff, my daughter was at Chipotle yesterday. She's dead. I'm at Chipotle. Me and Layla and Kenny, we ain't got no money. Can you send us money for food? Why the hell did you go to Chipotle?
And why did Kenny drive you there?
He drove y'all to Chipotle with no money.
No money.
You hit me up, but like, Dad, I was like, yeah, man. I had to transfer $25 to her bank so she could buy some Chipotle. But in my head, I'm like, why in the hell y'all at Chipotle with no money?
You know what you should have done? You said, you go to Burger King, I'll transfer you some money for that.
Yeah. We want free onion rings.
Kelly, you know what she is? She became that friend of yours who forgets their wallet.
Yeah.
Ooh. Hey, man.
I
used to drive him back to his house.
Yeah.
I said, no, we're getting in the car. We're going back home.
Bro, that's so funny, Jeff.
Too funny, man. All right, man, we got a couple more minutes here. Just want to remind everybody, please check out the No New Friends podcast with my good friend Scott and Mary, who we love so much. He's been on the show many times before, man. We love her.
Yeah, and we're going to be on tomorrow night, right?
You will be on tomorrow night, Wednesday show. That's right. We're going to have Mary in the house as well. She's the star.
She's the queen
of the train. Don't forget.
Queen of the sunrail. Yep.
That's right, people.
She likes to get the train ridden, something like that.
Mary runs the train. But that's a real thing.
Don't say that, James.
Hey, man.
James.
No,
hey,
man.
You might have to pull that one.
I won't run the train.
What are you talking about, man?
She's in charge.
I'm white and I know what that means. Come on, man.
Now, guys, if you want to, please hit up bonkerscomedy.com. James, that's right. Yours truly will be at the Bonkers Hilton in Daytona Beach. That's always a beautiful room. It's always packed. Call them up. Get your tickets right now. People are going to have a good time. Miss Michelle Yon will be making an appearance, so you don't want to miss that. It's going to be great, her mean mugging everybody. Ken Miller, where are you going to be this weekend?
Hey, man, I'm running the new faces the rest of the Mondays this month. That's all the comedy I got, man. And also, happy birthday to my mom. Her birthday, her 72nd birthday up in heaven. Rest in heaven,
happy
mama.
Birthday.
Happy birthday.
That's right. And Mr. Coffin, you're going to be doing the free legal advice this weekend?
No, I'm going to be in Vegas, but I might be at the Orange County Correction Facility doing my bit. No, I'm kidding. I don't do that. I don't do that anymore.
Guys, Don't forget to support the No New Friends podcast. Don't forget to come out on Monday nights at Harry Buffalo, downtown Orlando, to see the New Faces Comedy Competition. These guys need your support because one day they might be famous. On behalf of everybody here, myself, James John, Ken Miller, Jeff Kaufman, and Scott Maffei, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Sanford, Florida. James John here from Real Radio 104.1, and Real Labs has some very exciting news to announce. Alex Soto Comedy proudly presents the Whiny Wench Comedy Show, located in the new Whiny Wench Theater inside the Seminole Town Center Mall. Now, Sundays in September just got hilarious. Sunday, September 19th at 4 p.m., internationally touring 20-year veteran comedian Tanya Lee Davis. That's right, the little lady with giant jokes will be in the building. Tickets are only $15 at the door, plus a two-drink minimum. Food and drink menu will be available. Seminole Town Center Mall at 200 Town Center Drive in beautiful Sanford, Florida. So once again, don't miss out on the 20-year comedy veteran, Tanya Lee Davis, the little lady with giant jokes, will be crushing the building that day. Tickets are only $15 at the door, plus a two-drink minimum. Remember, everything goes down at the Whiny Wench Comedy Show. We're healing the world with laughter. I'll see you guys there.